Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you. We present ourselves as vessels to be filled with the very Word of God. Oh, Almighty God, speak to us. Holy Spirit, give us revelation knowledge. Not just to tickle our ears, but to give us revelation knowledge that we may be changed from glory to glory. For your Word is glorious, and in your Word is glory. And we are changed from one point of glory to another point of glory. So when we get into the Word, we are changed or transformed when it is truly glorious to us. And so we receive it as the glorious, powerful Word of God, and it changes us into the image of Christ more and more, and we are changed from glory to glory. So tonight, we're not just gathering together, we're gathering together in your presence with your Word being manifested, with your presence being manifested. You fill the very room in which we are right now, and I thank you that we are changed. We will not go out of this place the same as we came in. For Father God, that is your desire. It's not that we're horrible people, but we want to just be more like Jesus. We want to be more like our Savior. We want to be more like Him. And so I thank you for the manifestation of your Word to us, giving us the glorious, glorious revelation knowledge that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's go over again to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When we began talking about this, I talked about macro and micro. Macro is the big. It is the massive. When we talk about economics, we can talk about macroeconomics. You can talk about the economics, world economics. You can talk about the economy of a nation. You can talk about the economy of a state. You can talk about the economy of a city. That is a big thing. And then microeconomics would be your economics, your financial state, what you do at the small level. And when we talk about this, I bring this into the realm of the Word of God because we need to see the big picture, but we also need the intricate details. And so when I began reading this, I talked about the macro is the big picture. And we talked about this, and in order to kind of get the big picture, you really kind of have to back up. And you have to back up into the previous chapter because it says here in the previous chapter, chapter 11 and verse 39, and these all, so it's talking about the great saints who went before us. The Hebrews 11 is what we would call the Hall of Fame of Faith. And it here says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. So they did not fulfill everything that needed to be fulfilled. And that messes with people, and they say, no, David did what he was supposed to do. I didn't say he didn't. I'm saying that there is a destiny on humanity, and they took it to the point that they were supposed to take it to. So we see the Old Testament saints did that. We see the New Testament saints with Peter and Paul and James and John and Barnabas and Timothy and Silas and all of these. They did their part in taking the baton to take it to the end. But then that was passed on to those beyond them. And it was passed on to those beyond them. And it was eventually passed on to our predecessors, namely Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, Oral Roberts, those type of men who have also gone on into glory. And they did their part, and they passed the baton to us. And now, God has provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect, or that the completion of the destiny of humanity will not be brought forth to that complete point without us doing our part. So that gives us a big picture. I talked about the giftings and the things that are in you and in me. and how God has given you certain talents and abilities, and we need to fulfill our part in the body of Christ. And when we do that, we're running the race. We're fulfilling the destiny of humanity. So we looked at the big picture, and then we began looking here in Hebrews 12 again at the small picture. And it does not demean the small picture. It is the intricate details. And I have the tendency to get into the intricate details. Sometimes I miss the big picture, and God has to back me up to see things. The old saying, you'll miss the forest for the trees. I sometimes focus on the trees and don't get the big picture. The big picture is what God has for humanity is an amazing thing. And we are to bring the final leg of the destiny of humanity to the finish line. That's our part. And God saved that for you and for me. So then we get into Hebrews 12 again. Wherefore, seeing them in verse 1, we also are compassed about with this great cloud of witnesses. Then he begins to tell us about our part. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so we can look at this, and it's easy to just read it, but what he says here is, we have this great cloud of witnesses. We want to fulfill our destiny, and in order to fulfill our destiny, we need to lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset us. So what he is talking about, you could wrap up in just a few words: holiness, purity, cleanliness. I mean, you know, those are all kind of the same thing. And that's what he's talking about here. Now, when we see this, these words, they conjure something in the mind of many people that is wrong. Because they've been told, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. If you're going to be a Christian, you blah, 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 blah. And it becomes a legalistic thing. But that's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about living holy before God. Living holy before God. And in order for us to understand that, I want to look at a verse. And this verse is in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. And it says here, Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. Certain translations, most of your more modern translations put it, don't be foolish. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, in order to live this life out the way that he wants you to, you need to understand what his will is. And one of the things about his will is, it is his will that you live holy. That you live holy. And that, again, messes with people because they don't know what holy is. And our source that we get revelation knowledge from must be sorted out. And it can only be one thing, and that is God himself. He is the source of what holy is. And if we get our source of knowledge from some other source, it's going to get you off. Now, let's go over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll begin in verse 13. 1 Peter 1, 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So he says you cannot live the way you used to live. In your former lusts and ignorance. Now, we read Ephesians 5:17, which says don't be ignorant. He says be wise. Knowing what? What the will of the Lord is. So if we're going to know what the will of the Lord is, where is our source for the knowledge of the will of the Lord? It's Him Himself. It is the Word, the written Word, and the Holy Spirit is going to take that written Word and bring it alive to you. He is the teacher of the church. He is the one who will guide you into the truth and guide you in the truth. He is the one who will glorify the Father, the Son, and even Himself. He is the one who will explain scriptures to you. He is the one who will take circumstances in your life and show them to you in the Word. That's what He does. And it says here, again, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts, in your ignorance, but verse 15, but as He which has called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Manner of conversation is lifestyle. It is your manner of living. So He says, be holy. Not like you were before, but as God would have you to be. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So God has given us this. Now, I have said this, holiness, purity, this cleanness is a foundational doctrine of the church. It is as foundational as it gets. And people say, no, it's not. You can't find it. Yeah, you can. And I've gone through this before, but in Hebrews chapter 6, it actually shows it to us. Now, I'm not going to go into that in great detail, but I'm telling you, holiness or cleanliness, cleanness, purity is foundational. And without living a clean, pure, holy life, you're not going to understand the things of God very well, and you're not going to see Him with great clarity. Because it says in the very Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Himself said, blessed are the pure in heart. I think it's verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He's talking about clean, holy, pure. So, we need to pursue holiness. Now, I'm just kind of laying a little bit of groundwork here for you. Because God wants you to live a holy life. And in order for you to live this holy life, it's going to take more than just your willpower. Because your willpower will never be enough. Your willpower will never be enough. It's going to take a connection with God to the degree that you are made one with Him. You're made one with Him. And that is how, this is why He can say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Because you've been made one with Him. Now, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And verse 11, I'm kind of bouncing around here, and we'll get where we're going, but Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. This is quickly becoming one of my favorite scriptures. Because it says, for both he that sanctifies, that is the Lord Jesus Himself. You read this, keep it within the context of where it is written, and you'll find out the one that sanctifies, he's talking about Jesus. So both he that sanctifies, Jesus, and they that are sanctified, that is the born-again believer. And he says they are all of one. This is an amazing statement. And some of your more modern translations put it this way, they are all of one source. Others say they all have the same Father. Now, you can have the same Father in the natural, but when what we're talking about is you were born of God. For both he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified are all of one. You were made of Him. You are of Him. The very nature and essence of God came into you. You were born of Him. And it is the most amazing thing. You are not just a natural person. You are a born-again believer connected to Him. In John 15, Jesus talked about this. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. And He talks about, we are the branches. He is the vine. And it is such a wonderful thing. We are connected to Him.
Now, when he talks about sanctified, he's talking about being made clean. And it actually goes even beyond that. It means separated from and separated to. So when he talks about you're sanctified, you're separated from sin, and you're separated unto God. So you've been sanctified. You've been separated from the things of this world, and now you're sanctified, or you're separated unto Him. Now, why is this such a big deal? You say, well, Pastor, you seem to be very excited about this. Yes, I am. And the reason is, I am born of God Himself. I'm not just a natural man. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. And all things are of God. What things? All the new things. When you were born again, God took the old out, and He took of Himself and put it into you. The very nature, the essence, the life of God Himself was put into you. So you were born of Him. It is the most amazing, beautiful, passionately I talk of this. It is the most amazing, beautiful thing in the world. It is so wonderful. Now, why are we talking about this when we're talking about holiness? Because I said you're not going to be able to do it on your own. Your own willpower will never be enough. But you don't have to do it on your own, because God Himself will enable you. God Himself will enable you. You may even think, well, I don't really even have the desire to do this. God may deal with you about something, and you may think, I don't really even have the desire to do that. You're dealing with me about it, but I really don't want to. You realize He'll even give you the desire? You can ask for that. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, see if I can find it really quickly. And if I can't, that's okay. We'll bring it up later. And I'm not finding it at the very moment. But it actually says, I know what I can do. Give me just a moment, because it really is something. Okay. Let's see here. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong in where it's at. I guess I am. I'm not finding it really quickly. That's all right. It says He will give you the desire and then the empowerment to fulfill that desire. I'll give it to you next week. I don't have time to go into it right now. But so you may not even have the desire to do it. He'll even give you the desire to do what He wants you to do. And that's the most amazing thing of all, is He'll help you. He'll help you. Now, when we talk about holiness, there's so much that we could talk about, but I want you to see it really talks about sanctification. Now, in John chapter 15, and let's go over there. We'll go to John 15 and John 17, and I don't know that I'm going to have a whole lot of time beyond this. I know I've talked about this before, but in John 15, beginning in verse 1, John 15, beginning in verse 1, and he says there, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And again, it is not harsh language here. It's not, if you're not producing fruit, He's going to lop you off and throw you away. The way that this is written is actually very tender. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He actually holds it up, is the way that it's actually written, so that it may bring forth fruit. It's and I think in very vivid terms sometimes, and I remember when I was a kid, we had an apple tree out back, and the branches on that thing would get so heavy that the fruit would be hanging and it would be on the ground and it would rot. And God wants you to have fruit, and He will prop you up and hold you up to the degree so that you can bear fruit. So that you can bear fruit. So that's what He's saying. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away, or He holds it up so it may bring forth fruit. And every branch that does bear fruit, He what? Purges it. Now, you're going to find out this word and the word in the next verse, or in verse 4, 1, but I think it's in the next verse, are two different tenses of the same word. I'll get into that here in a moment. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away, or He holds it up. Every branch that does bear fruit, He purges it, and it really means cleanses it. He cleans it. He cleanses it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, then, go into verse 3. Now you are clean. This is a different tense of the same word. The first one says that He cleanses it. This one says you are clean. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. What is it that brings about this cleansing process, or this process of making us holy? It's the word of God. Now you are clean. You have been cleansed. You have been made clean with me through the word which I have spoken unto you. And then John chapter 17 and verse 17. John 17 and verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So how does the sanctification process work? You're cleansed by His word. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, it talks about by the washing of the water of the word. The Word of God is has this cleansing ability. Now, it has the potential to clean you. But there are some things that we will need to do, and it is our response to the Word. It is our response to the Word. Now, the Holy Spirit is going to work in conjunction with the Word. He's going to work with you to bring about this cleanness, this lifestyle that is holy. And He's going to work with you to bring this about. So let's go over to Romans. Romans chapter 8. One of those great chapters in the Bible. Romans 8. And I believe we'll begin in, it's either verse 12 or 13, somewhere in that area. Let me look here. We'll begin in verse 12. Therefore, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons, the children of God. Now we take that verse and we use that verse and say we have every right and to be led by the Spirit of God, and we actually have a responsibility to follow the unction from the Holy Spirit, and that's correct. But keeping this verse within the context that it is written, He is talking about the Holy Spirit showing you what needs to be put to death in you. Can you see that? Therefore, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we, through the Spirit, do mortify, that's put to death, the deeds and misdeeds of the body, we shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or the children of God. So, the Holy Spirit will take this gigantic Holy Spirit spotlight, and He will shine it on something in you. What's He going to shine it on? Well, we began in Hebrews chapter 12. Sins and weights. Some of those things are just weights that are slowing you down. Some of them are sins. And He will shine this gigantic spotlight, and He is very precise. And He will shine the spotlight on what needs to change. And when He does that, The Holy Spirit is working with you. Now, you need to work with Him. Now, remember, the Word of God is the standard that we base everything and judge everything by. We judge our experience by the Word of God, not the Word of God by our experience. People do this all the time. It didn't work for me, therefore that doctrine is wrong. No. My uncle has a saying, and it's not original with him, I'm sure. The Word works if you work the Word. The Word works if you work the Word. That doesn't mean manipulate. It means that you use the Word. And all he's saying there is that you do what Hebrews chapter 5 talks about, and you become experienced with the Word of God. And you're going to need to become experienced with the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is going to teach it to you. He's going to shine His spotlight upon the things that need to change in you. And when He does so, He is doing His part. But He will not leave you to do your part even alone. Yes, you have to respond, but He will empower you. And that's the great thing. You never have to worry about doing this alone, because the Holy Spirit is there to help you. Now, I'm going to go all the way back to the law and look at a couple verses. And I know we looked at these in Leviticus 20. Leviticus 20, verses 7 and 8. God's side and man's side. Leviticus 20, verses 7 and 8. Leviticus 20, verse 7 says, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." And then in verse 8, "And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifies you." So there is a man's side and a God's side. The man's side of it and the God's side of it meet together, and God empowers the man's side to fulfill what you couldn't do on your own. There are things that God wants us to sever from our lives, and we may have worked on them our whole life and not been able to do it, but with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, you can. And you're going to find that out. You're going to find out that you can do some things that you were not capable of doing on your own. Now, when you got born again, you got a brand new spirit. In Ezekiel chapter 11, chapter 36 and chapter 37, but especially Ezekiel 11 and 36, he says, "I'm going to take out of you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." He says, "I'm going to put a new spirit within you." Then he says, "I'm going to put my spirit within you." But he also says, "I'm going to give them one heart." Now, when he says that, he says, "I'm going to give them of me. I'm going to take out of them the old, I'm going to put in them the new, and the new is of me." Now, when he says this, there are things that are written in the Old Testament which now do not apply to you. And again, this messes with people's theology, but it's a reality, because you're not who you were and you're not who they were under the old covenant. So I want to look at a verse, because this will be something that some people will bring up. And it's in the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 17. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Because I'm going to make a statement here in a moment, and some people will throw this verse at you. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In other words, you can't trust your heart. That's Old Testament. Because you need to learn to listen to your heart. You need to learn to listen to your spirit, the inner man. Because that's where God's going to communicate with you. That's Old Testament. God prophesied in Ezekiel 11 and in Ezekiel 36, where he said, I'm going to give you a new heart. It's not going to be that wicked heart, that one that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's not your heart anymore. Matter of fact, if you're going to walk in your spirit, you're going to produce good things. It's amazing. But that is what is produced out of your spirit, out of your heart. You're born again, new man, is good things, not bad. The issue is, what arena are you answering from, and what part of your three-part makeup are you walking in? If you're walking in your spirit, you're going to produce good things. Now, the reason I went into this verse is because I want you to understand you need to learn to listen to your spirit. You need to learn to listen to the Holy Ghost who dwells in your spirit. It tells us over and over and over again in the New Testament, you are the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, he said, it is expedient that I go away, because if I don't, the Holy Ghost won't come. But if I do, he will come. He also said, you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So he dwells in us. You are the temple of the living God. That is your spirit man. It says in Romans 8 verse 16, the spirit bears witness with our spirit. I can go all the way back to the book of Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27, and it says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the innermost parts of the belly. God talks to us on the inside, not the outside. And we need to learn to listen to that. And when it comes to living holy, we need to learn to listen to the Holy Ghost. He is the one who is going to show you what holy and unholy are. Most people have at least some understanding of what holy and unholy are. But some have had a lifestyle presented to them, and they have been immersed in this lifestyle in their home to the degree that they don't know what holy and unholy are. I know people like that. But you, as a born-again believer, according to Ephesians 5, verse 17, where we looked at earlier, be not unwise, but know the will of God. Don't be unwise concerning the will of God, but know the will of God. How do you do that? You get in the Word of God, and if it conflicts with my lifestyle, it conflicts with my lifestyle. And the Holy Spirit will show you some things. Now, go over to Philippians 1, and I'm just going to touch on this because I don't have time to go into it, but we'll go into it next week, and we'll go into this. We'll go into Philippians 1, verses 9 and 10 in particular. We may go into verse 11, but those first two verses in particular. And then we will go into 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, 22 in that area. And those verses actually are going to show you how the Holy Spirit is going to work with you. If you don't know what's going on right now, this is teaching. That's what's going on. The Holy Ghost is teaching you. He just happens to be doing it through me. And I'm honored to be used. But this is teaching. A little bit of preaching mixed in there, but it's mainly teaching. So, Philippians 1, verse 9. And this I say, that your love, and this I pray, that your love may abound in you, yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Then go into verse 10. That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, when it says sincere, this word actually means unmixed or unalloyed. Not having an admixture. Being of one substance. Now, what I'm talking about here is holiness. That's what it's actually talking about here. That you would be sincere, which means unmixed or unalloyed. And verses 9 and 10 are going to show you how this works. We've been down this pathway before, but we're going to take some time. We're going to get into it. And like I said, we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 as well. And we're going to come to a greater revelation, and we're going to learn how to work with the Holy Ghost more. One of the calls on my life and my ministry is teach, not only teach my people faith, but teach my people how to operate with the Holy Ghost. That means to flow with Him. And part of the flow with Him is when He is bringing us that spotlight and saying, this needs to change. You know, in School of the Spirit, every Sunday morning, we have what we call School of the Spirit, and that is where we learn to operate with the Holy Ghost. One of the primary scriptures is Psalm 25 and verse 4, and it says, show us your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths. That's the flow of the Holy Ghost. And one way that the Holy Ghost flows is He shows you these things that need to change. So we're going to look at this, how we work together with Him, because there is a God side and a man side. The God side, He's always going to do His part. The man side, we need to learn to do ours. Amen? Okay, so we'll get into that again a little bit more next week. Father, we just come to You in the name of Jesus, and I thank You for this time that we've had together. Oh, Almighty God, I pray that You would have Your hand upon these people, even as they depart from this place.